time.
And I just want to say, when my time comes, I want to be buried face down so that anyone who doesn't like me can kiss my ass.
Hour number two of Overtime, coming at you live, truly Hard Seltzer Studios, 1 hour down, one more remains. Tanner and Justin are along for the ride with you here on your Thursday night, 865-546-8200. To hop on board the phone lines here, Justin will greet you when you call in. While I look up this list here, Justin, completely different sports, but you just potentially saw some big MLB trade news here. Share that with us. Tis the season for baseball trades.
Well, it's kind of just conjecture by MLB analyst Dan O'Dowd, but it's a trade that would send Mookie Betts and David Price of the Boston Red Sox to L.A. So for Mookie Betts and left-handed pitcher David Price, both amazing players, the Red Sox would acquire A.J. Pollock, Ross Stripling, pitcher, Dennis Santana, right-handed pitcher, Jordan Sheffield, right-handed pitcher, and outfielder Jaron Kendall. So two outfielders, three right-handed pitchers for outfielder Mookie Betts and left-handed pitcher David Price.
Whoever does end up with Mookie, man.
I mean, and very David lucky. Price still's got, I think, a lot of gas in the tank.
VFL Mookie Betts.
I saw that quote tweeted by a very, very distraught Red Sox fan. So, Red Sox Nation not stoked for that potential deal. We'll see what happens.
If Mookie goes almost like anywhere else, almost feel like I could root for him more. I couldn't really root for a Red Sox.
You have something against the Red Sox?
I've never been a Red Sox fan. It's the Boston sports thing.
Yeah,
They bleed together with Patriots fans, yeah, especially.
Oh, big time.
Like, I hate the Patriots more than any of them, but they're just associated with the rest of them, so I just have a disdain.
That kid that's seen, like, you know, 22 championships in, like, 12 years of life.
What's his damn name?
Patrick
McGillicuddy. I remember that. Barstool tweets about every time a Boston team has a championship parade, they say happy Patrick McGillicuddy Day, because the kid always has a new sign saying how many parades he's been to in his short life. I hate that kid.
I hope within my lifetime the fortune of Boston area major sports teams declines. It can be rapidly or it can be a slow fade, but if there's a time where they go 10 years without any championships, I Boston has that reputation for being, you know, ornery, cranky type of people. I couldn't imagine what they would do without their precious, you know, semi-annual championships.
I don't know how they did it for the longest time with, you know, outside the Celtics, because especially the 90s had to be tough for them because Bird's era was over. You know, I don't think the Bruins were doing anything special. The Pats were still not even considered to be any type of a threat, even though they made one Super Bowl appearance that decade, but they never won anything. And the Red Sox, of course, they were still in the middle of the curse of the Bambino. Have they always been like this, or was it not until this run of success started that they just became even more insufferable?
I'm trying to look at their entire history. This may take a minute, though.
Well, while you do that, we'll switch gears here. As the decade comes to its end here, everyone's still coming up with their best of the decade lists in all walks of entertainment, music, sports especially, you know, whatever. There's always a looking back on this decade that was the 2010s, and we go back to sports here. We go to Tennessee sports. Paul Feinbaum on his show today, he went through each SEC program and he unveiled the Mount Rushmore of each program's players this decade for Tennessee's. Tell me if you agree or disagree with Paul Feinbaum's Mount Rushmore of Tennessee football players this decade. All right. First and foremost, no shocker, Josh Dobbs. Next, again, no argument for this one, Derek Barnett. Third, especially among the fans, there's no argument, Juwan Jennings. And then fourth, this is maybe where you could make some substitutions, make some arguments for the fourth and final Mount Rushmore spot. But Feinbaum, Cam Sutton, he put the final spot on the Mount Rushmore of Tennessee football players this decade. Cam Sutton. Agree, disagree?
I don't have any immediate problems with it. The only glaring, you know, guy that's not there is Alvin Kamara, but it's because he was underutilized when he was here. I feel like Cam Sutton was electric during his time on Rocky Top.
Yeah, I think, too, it wasn't just because of what he did as a cornerback, also very good special teams player.
Yeah.
So that helps his case. How about A.J. Johnson?
Yeah, he kind of gets lost in the fray.
Mm-hmm.
Did he play 3 years before that crap went down?
It was in the middle of his senior year.
So he had 4 seasons?
So almost 4 full seasons.
I wish there was like an offensive, you know, and defensive Mount Rushmore.
That's why it's a tough.
It's always hard to narrow down 4.
So
I don't have a problem with it, really. Do you?
Do you agree with the first three, though?
Yeah, for sure.
There's no argument about those first three.
I don't think there really can be, especially because we didn't have any good quarterback play from 10 until Dobbs.
I feel like if he would have stayed more than one season, you could probably put CP on there just because he was so good, but he did only stay one season. Kamara probably rightfully doesn't get on there just because of no fault of his own, fault of the coaching staff. And you feel like maybe if he finishes out his career here, and especially if he keeps moving up the all-time rushing list, you can have an argument to put Jalen Hurd on there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But his career ended the way it did. So.
Yeah, he kind of derailed his own spot here. Now he's in the league.
So is a lot of them.
How did his season end up? That's off the rails. I'll look that up later.
Oh, he got injured. He got put on IR.
Oh, I do remember seeing that.
Yeah, he didn't have a good rookie season. He had an unfortunate rookie season.
He's with the Niners, isn't he?
Yep.
Now they got Debo Samuel.
Damn, he may get a ring. It depends on how it goes for the Niners.
That'd be wild.
Who knows? Get a ring sitting on the bench. He still gets one either way.
Do you think we would congratulate him?
Yes.
On BFL football Twitter?
Yeah, you'd have to. It'd be like both us and Baylor congratulating him.
And then we'd be in that spot that Ohio State was in after they congratulated Joe Burrow. But we didn't send him away. He chose to leave. So
he did. I'm looking at other Mount Rushmores here that Feinbaum tweeted out. Here's LSU's all-decade Mount Rushmore. Joe Burrow, Tyrann Mathieu, Leonard Fournette, and Patrick Peterson. I mean, that's solid. That's very solid.
Yeah.
Damn, they had a good decade. And they might finally end it with a national championship, but that's crazy how LSU hasn't had a national championship this decade with all that talent. But they finally got their offense right. They finally figured out how to play really good offense.
And we were talking about it yesterday, how Coach O is, you know, using the pieces around him really to be a successful head coach. He's not really hands-on on everything on his own. I feel like, you think Brady would get, you think he'll get any calls from NFL teams?
I'm sure he's going to be fielding some.
Yeah.
He's going to be fielding some, but LSU...
I wonder what LSU offense post Brady will look like, and post Burrow, and assuming Allaire declares for the draft, if he gets healthy again,
they take a big step back next year. Even if Brady stays, I don't know who their next quarterback's going to be, but there's no way you'll replicate what Burrow did next season. So I still think they have a solid offense as long as Joe Brady is at the helm there. It makes me wonder what they're going to do with Ensminger, because Ensminger is still technically the offensive coordinator. But But that's Joe Brady's offense, though. I wonder how they're going to figure that out. But yeah, Mount Rushmore Tennessee players, according to Feinbaum this decade, Josh Dobbs, Derek Barnett, Juwan Jennings, Cam Sutton. I mean, I don't disagree with the Cam Sutton. I really don't. I feel like his career could have still been a little better, though. Not to say he underachieved or anything, because he was solid. He had a very solid time here. And also, you know, not his fault that he ran into injury problems in 2016. Imagine if he played all of that season. I think he would have had a fantastic year. I think he would have had a fantastic senior season. Injuries kind of hampered him a little bit, though, but very solid cornerback. Great punt returner. Multiple punt return touchdowns. So, not really disagreeing a whole lot here. Looking at Alabama's. That had to be hard to get Alabama's.
But there's so many amazing players. Yeah,
this is Mount Rushmore the decade for Alabama, according to Feinbaum. Tua, Jonathan Allen, Derrick Henry, Minka Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. Can you go through it one more time? Who'd you say?
It's Tua.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry.
Yes.
Jonathan Allen.
Yes.
Minka Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I mean, that's hard to argue.
You don't put Mark Ingram there because he did have his Heisman season in the last decade. Even though he did play for you.
Did you see what he said today about – he said – I guess he got asked some question about the longevity. He's, like, going to turn 30 next week or
God, he's
sometime.
Gonna turn 30, geez.
But he said, I feel like my best football is in front of me. People act like you're dead when you're 30. So
– well, I mean, when you're a running back in the NFL
– Ingram's got a good line. He gave props to his whole line and all that. That's making him also successful.
I mean, when you're a running back in the NFL, you kind of are dead by 30.
Most of the time. I think Ingram will be around for a while yet, barring injury.
He won't be around as long as Frank Gore, though. I don't know how Frank Gore is not dead. I don't know how a lot of these running backs who keep playing that long are able to keep their bodies up. What's another Mount Rushmore's here? Should I read the Vanderbilt Mount Rushmore?
See if I recognize a single player.
Probably some people who had a big hand in beating us. So here we go. You know you're still Vanderbilt football when even one of the best decades you've had in a long time, as they had this decade as a football program, you know you're still Vanderbilt when one of your Mount Rushmore players is Jordan Rogers.
Dang.
Jordan Rogers. Next up, Jordan Matthews. Agree. He was very good. He was very good at Vandy. Ralph Webb and Zach Cunningham. Also really good. So solid players. Three solid players and then Jordan Rogers, who I don't even know if he even got a shot at the NFL.
That's probably just retroactive due to his current status as a broadcaster.
Man, Jordan Rogers really did kick the crap out of us that one year.
Sad.
That's embarrassing.
Going back to the whole Boston, you know, how many ships they had. They did have a rough 90s. The drought for the Celtics was championship in 86. They didn't win another one until 08. The Bruins went from 72 all the way until 2011 without a ship. Patriots did not have a single championship till 2001. And the Red Sox obviously had that curse from 1918 till 2004.
So 86 years.
They went, I guess, 1986, but really only one championship. Oh, no, three basketball championships in the 80s, and then the 90s just drive everything. So I guess in their minds that was tough.
I guess so. Maybe it's like some of the older heads. They'd suffered through some serious droughts with
some
of their
teams.
That's
pretty bad for hockey. I didn't know the Bruins went that long without one as well.
They had a long drought, and they haven't won one since. But I guess when the rest of your teams, or especially your football and baseball teams, are doing very good, I guess you ignore that a little bit. Celtics had the longest drought of all, though. 08. I don't know when the Celtics are going to win another championship. I think they have pieces, but...
Could be a minute.
But...
seems like all the power is out west. Well, no. We got New York.
Not all the power, but...
Did you see how Kevin Durant was not on any of the... The Warriors released their, like, you know, all-decade video or whatever, and Kevin Durant was not in a single... piece of film or photograph that they included.
That's
so they're scrubbing Kevin Durant out of their history despite two finals MVPs.
Yeah, I disagree with that slightly. That's stupid. That is so dumb. What? Is there that much bad blood?
Maybe just the way that things went down with like the rumors that the training staff was pushing him to play, and then he ruptured his what was it that he hurt? His Achilles, wasn't it?
His Achilles. Yeah. Just completely exploded it.
Ouch.
So, yikes. Even though he's a real catalyst for that little dynasty they had in the middle of the decade. We are brought to you by the fine team over at KC Kitchen Center. Go over, see the showroom, 5902 Kingston Pike, open 8 to 5 tomorrow and 9 until 2 on Saturday, right there in Historic Beard across from Kingston Pike. Listen to this deal here. So, for tomorrow, and I think they'll extend this till Saturday too, you have 2 days to take advantage of this big deal over at KC Kitchen Center. You can get buy one, get one free pricing on all granite cutting boards, Lazy Susans, and serving boards. In store only, no shipping on these. You have to go in to take advantage of this deal. It's fantastic. It's great for a last-minute holiday gift. Great to treat yourself to. Again, granite cutting boards, Lazy Susans, serving boards. They'll make a great gift for someone to use in their kitchen. They'll make a great little present to yourself as well. Again, stop in the showroom, 5902 Kingston Pike, to take advantage of this. And if you would also like to find out how to get a free in-home estimate on a brand new countertop for your kitchen, bathroom, any other surface, call 865-971-5800, 971-5800. Visit them online at kckitchencenter.com, 9000 Kitchen and Bath Makeovers and Counting. We're going to catch the first break of hour two. Come back when we're overtime after this. You're listening to Fan Run Radio.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing up bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock.
Ah, get me jingle in the mood, Justin Fies.
For Christmas.
Ah, classic. Classic here. Jingle rock. Yeah, man, I've been in the Christmas music flow for weeks now.
I've really not listened to any. I'm kind of sad at myself. I used to be so big on it as a young lad. Christmas fades when you're an adult.
It does for some people. And also, some of the tunes can get repetitive for some people because there's only so many good Christmas songs. There are some bad Christmas songs out there. I wouldn't implore any people to listen to some of the bad ones, like Christmas Shoes.
Thank God. That's what I was about to say. That is the worst Christmas song of all time.
It's so damn morbid.
It's terrible. I can't believe it's a real, bona fide, published song.
Shoes.
I mean, it must have been like made as like a charity fundraiser, you know, donate to Salvation Army at Christmas type of vibe. And it's probably accomplished that, you know, a billion times over. But, oh my God, it's the worst.
They were able to make 3 movies off that song and a book.
What do you mean?
The Christmas Shoes. I'm serious. So the song came out in like 2000. In 2002, they had a film, The Christmas Shoes. They made it into like a movie.
That's so terrible.
Based on the story, and Rob Lowe stars in it. It's before Rob Lowe had like his little career comeback,
mm-hmm.
and he was forced to be the lead actor in Christmas Shoes.
That's the worst.
And Christmas Shoes had like 2 other sequels.
There are people in my friend group that love the Christmas Shoes song, and it makes It's just terrible.
It's so damn fucking.
You'd like to
It's so depressing,
me.
First and foremost. Christmas is supposed to make you happy, and I get
go ahead.
I get there are serious Christmas songs, okay? This is not the way to go about it. It's like, sir, my mom's dying because you won't let me buy these shoes, sir.
Number one, like, vibe ruiner at Christmas time.
Sir, I want to buy these
Shut
shoes.
Shut up. I hate it so much.
It really
I'm glad we're in agreement, because I was about to air my opinion of that song, and if you were of the opposite opinion, I don't know if I could continue the show.
No, absolutely not. I'm trying to find out info about the movies, and there's a section on the Wikipedia article about the song at the bottom about the criticism it's received. The song has appeared on various worst Christmas song lists.
Good.
And deservedly so. I'm trying
Delete
to
it from the internet. Delete it from history.
December 1st, 2002, it was a TV movie broadcast on CBS on national television. It is the first part in a trilogy of films, followed by 2005's The Christmas Blessing and 2009's The Christmas Hope. I need some hope after hearing that song for the first time, and any other time I hear it. I'm glad that's at least not on your grocery store, retail store
rotation.
Thank God, because I worked a couple Christmases in retail at a grocery store, and they'd already only play like the same 15 songs. It would get on my nerves a lot, just because, like, hey, give me some variety. Like, I get Holly Jolly Christmas, Jingle Bell Rock, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, among many others. I get those are classics, and I enjoy them. Not when you hear them on a repetitive loop. I'm just glad they didn't put in Christmas Shoes.
I love the Cheech and Chong.
Oh, Santa and His Old Lady.
Yeah,
you got the brownies,
man. Mrs. Claus cooking us something special, man.
Yeah, man. Oh, I need to listen to that one. You reminded me of that one. I would have went this Christmas without listening to it. I'm going to go home and do that, actually. I'm curious about the worst Christmas song list. I really want to see what else is up there. Because this has to be number one, right?
Yes.
I mean, it has to be.
In my opinion.
I'm going to look at the first list I come across. This was 3 years ago on Esquire. The 20 bleepiest... crappiest, I would say, Christmas songs ever recorded. Oh, God. Here we go. Number 20, Pentatonix's That's Christmas to Me. Are you a Pentatonix's fan?
Not really.
I'm not either. I think they do a good version of Mary, Did You Know?
That one's good. I do like that one.
That's my favorite one of that song. I've never heard of some of these. John Denver, Please Daddy, Don't Get Drunk on Christmas.
I think I've heard that.
The description says, nothing says holiday cheer like a child pleading with his emotionally abusive alcoholic father not to get bleep-faced and pass out under the tree again. Oh, God.
Come on, Dad.
That's dark.
John Denver Sr. had a bit of a drinking problem.
There's a Maroon 5 cover of Happy Christmas, War is Over. God, don't cover that one. That's John Lennon's song. Please don't cover that, especially if you're Maroon 5. Adam Levine.
Adam Levine's for the troops.
So the Duck Dynasty guys did a Christmas song.
No.
And they went by the name Duck the Halls.
No.
And the song is called Santa Looked a Lot Like Daddy. Is that a cover? I feel like that's already a Christmas song. I don't think that's
a Christmas song. I'm not sure, but I imagine it featured a lot of duck call.
Christmas
sound
Shoes
effects.
Is only 14 on this list.
I guess that's because people have mixed opinions. There's, like I said, I have friends that love it, and I don't understand why.
I don't either. Oh, I disagree with this. At number 10, they put Bruce Springsteen's cover of Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I love his cover.
I think I like
that
one.
I love it.
His little raspy laugh.
Boo. Let's keep moving on. I shouldn't have laughed at this, but you're going to hate me because I chuckled at this because I saw this. I'm just going to get into it. Number 8 by Tiny Tim, Santa Claus Has Got the AIDS. Santa Claus Has Got the
Magic
AIDS.
Magic Johnson. What has he got?
It says it was recorded in 1980. The track from the 70s TV staple in Ukulele Weirdo wasn't released until almost a decade later, where it's haunted the dreams of everyone since.
Could have left that one in the file for
Okay. The Killers, Don't Shoot Me Santa. Oh, that's good. That's a funny one. Killers have some good original Christmas songs. Boo. This one might make people mad. Do They Know It's Christmas, Band-Aid? I know people who really like that one.
How's that one?
It's that one's like, there won't be snow in Africa.
Oh, yeah,
Christmas
I like that
time.
One.
Yeah.
Do they know it's
Do
Christmas?
Do they know da, it's da, Christmas? Da,
da. That one's good. I don't know. I guess everyone's going to have their opinions. But if you have Christmas shoes on your top list, you are wrong.
And seek help. Seek help, please. Here's your top five, according to Esquire. Number five, Justin Bieber, Mistletoe. Mistletoe
top
by Justin Bieber.
Like good five, or this is
bad
the worst
five. This is still the worst.
Okay.
Number four, the Pussycat Dolls cover of Santa Baby.
Can't recollect, but I'd imagine
it
was
either.
Bad.
Number three, Jackson 5, I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. It's MJ, though. It's Young MJ. I can hate on Young MJ. He didn't
Maybe
do
his
nothing
voice
wrong.
Was too high for people's liking.
Number two, Lady Gaga, Christmas Tree.
I bet. I bet her outfit in a music video made that.
Number one. Oh, I might have to agree with number one. And I don't know if you'll like it or hate it. A lot of people hate it. Some people love it, especially because of who performed it. But Wonderful Christmas Time, Paul McCartney and Wings.
That's the worst?
That's according to Esquire.
I have heard that people don't like that one.
Esquire says, this is the Beatles of terrible Christmas songs. It's a love song between a middle-aged man and the new Casio keyboard he got in his stocking. A song whose awesome black hole musicality is almost powerful enough to suck the life out of everything McCartney did before.
I like it. So I guess...
Simply happy.
I don't know. I guess it's just because that was one of the ones that played on repeat when I was a kid.
Simply happy.
And I mean, I guess the keyboard is a little xylophone-y.
That would get on my nerves. Oh, yeah, there's some bad ones out there. So I guess to round it back out... Yeah, I could see why some people hate Christmas music in general. Maybe because they've heard a lot of the bad ones.
There's not a lot. I feel like it's got to be like a old classic for it to really like cement itself as good. Anything that comes out as original, I feel like doesn't get appreciated in its time. In its current time. Besides Mariah Carey's.
Oh, yeah, easily. I'll tell you number one of another list I clicked on before we had to break. So this other list, smoothradio.com, they're number one, Last Christmas by Crazy Frog. You remember Crazy Frog?
Nope.
Oh, it's like the early 2000s. It was like the animated, like techno. It was supposed to be like a little animated frog singing like really annoyingly catchy songs.
The Bing Bing,
bing
Frog,
bing.
Yeah.
had a cover of Last Christmas, apparently. I'm afraid to listen to that.
That's the best one, they said?
That's the worst.
Ah.
This was a different worst Christmas song. Christmas Shoes was in the top 10 of this one. Is that it?
Yes. This is bad radio.
All I heard is a little bam, 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 bam. So I'm just going to leave it at that. Well, let's come back and play some birthdays on the other side. Set things back to normal. You're listening to Overtime. Keep it here on Fan Run Radio.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game! It's all about the game, and how you play it. It's all about control, if you can take
Sir,
it.
Sir, I wanna buy these shoes for my mama, please. I can't.
We're good.
I can't.
I'm good on that one.
Moving on to birthdays here. Justin, it's not a big birthday day by quantity. I kind of had to scrap a little bit. We had such a good day yesterday that we had to kind of reset here. Only two birthdays, and I threw in a This Day in History.
Sounds good.
So let's try to get two out of three here, starting off with the first birthday. He is 52 today. He is an American media personality, magician, and illusionist. Goes by stage name. He's based out of Las Vegas. He had his own...
David Blaine.
It's not David Blaine. He had a couple shows showcasing his illusion tricks and magic.
How old did you say he was?
He's 52.
Not David Blaine.
His show was on A&E from 05 to 2010. Mind Freak.
Oh, Carbonaro? No, mm-hmm. Not Carbonaro. Nope.
Five.
Dang it, I know it. Beep.
Guess. Nope. Chris Angel.
Oh, how'd I not?
It's Chris Angel. Yep. Did you ever watch Mind Freak?
No, I was going to say, have you ever seen the parody videos of, like, David Blaine? I'll have to show those to you.
I haven't seen Blaine's parody videos. I saw an old parody video of Chris Angel, though. I think it was on Mad TV. They were just making fun of how, like, dark and, like, emo he was. And just like, yeah, do all this magic, man.
I'm going to hang upside down for 3 hours straight.
Cole McCormick, when he was on the show, so, you know, Cole used to live in Vegas for a while. He went to high school in Vegas, and he told a story one time of how he and some of his friends ran into Chris Angel at a Taco Bell in Vegas. He was just in a Taco Bell, and it was a very weird encounter for him because after kind of looking at him for a little bit, he and his group went up to him, and Cole said, "Hey, man, you're Chris Angel." Chris Angel just looked at Cole and said, "Yeah." It's like, "Oh, can we get a picture?" It's like, "Yeah." They took a picture with him. Like, he had, like, no smile or anything on his face or whatever. He didn't say a word to him the rest of the time. And then he said, like, he left, and he turned around and said, "Good night, ladies."
Weird.
It was very weird.
I've heard that, like, TV magic shows are, like, very high production and not a lot of magic. So maybe he just trying to get out of there before they asked him for a trick.
Before they realized that he might have been big, fat, phony. He's a big, fat, phony!
That is one thing, like, if I were president, I would demand to be... I would demand, like, a personal magic show and then have all the tricks, like, ruined for me, just out of curiosity. But I'm also someone that enjoys spoilers, so...
I've never been big into magic.
No, me neither.
I would never, like... I wouldn't, like, deny going to a magic show if I was in a group that wanted to go to one. I'm sure I'd be entertained, but I don't, like, watch videos of magicians performing tricks.
I, like, sort of rained on a magician's parade when I was in, like, first grade. I don't know what kind of trick he was doing, but I figured it out, and I made it very well known.
As a first grader?
It was very simple. It was like, I can't, it'd be bad radio to try to describe it, but.
What was it, like a card trick? Or
no, it was like a, you know, this color comes out of this side of the board when you tilt it. It was very rudimentary magic. I can't believe nobody else figured
it out. And you embarrassed him.
Not really. I was just like, come on, man.
You're like, you're a phony. This isn't magic.
I'm going to the book fair.
Yeah, I'm going to get my scholastics. I'll see you on the other side. Next birthday here. And the last one for today, he is 39 years old today, and he is an American actor and producer. He is known for being in films such as October Sky, Donnie Darko, The Day After
Jake
Tomorrow.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Is Jake Gyllenhaal.
October Sky is a good movie.
Filmed in East Tennessee.
Homer Hickam.
I watched that like on several occasions in school.
Yeah.
That was always like
a very big East Tennessee pride movie.
And just a very big school movie day thing as well. I liked it. I liked it a whole lot. Tell me a lot about the Cold War, space race, all that type of stuff.
Made me want to build my own rockets and shoot them off in the backyard.
Are you a Gyllenhaal fan?
I think he's a really good actor. I did not like him in the newest Spider-Man.
As Mysterio.
I thought that was a bad casting. not a bad cast, but
some other movies here. Nightcrawler. A lot of people like that. Zodiac, which a lot of people like, and of course the award-winning Brokeback Mountain as well with Heath Ledger. R.I.P. Prisoners and Enemy. John's pretty good. He's
got to be like all-time like dark role guy, because like Jarhead got dark.
Oh yeah, Jarhead too.
Such a depressing
movie. I watched that when I was like 10, man. I was too young to watch that.
Jarhead starts out like a, you know, military type of movie that you want to watch, and then it turns into like, this is what the Gulf War was like. Very grim.
Ironically enough, I think the other, yeah, it was like two nights ago, I went down a YouTube rabbit hole, and I don't know if it's Vanity Fair or some other outlet, but they always have like someone from a certain profession break down scenes from movies and TV shows that describe like their profession. And it was a guy who served in the Marines for like 10 years, and he was looking at military movies, and Jarhead was one of the first ones they showed, and he said, and went through like the boot camp specifically. And he said, yeah, this is pretty much it. He said, even when you look back on the bunks, like behind them, like the towels are where they're supposed to be. Everything looks pretty much accurate. Talk about even in detail of like when the drill instructor pushes Gyllenhaal's character's head into the chalkboard after he talks back. He said, yeah, that would happen too. Some things change now. Like he even said, did you know that drill instructors now, they are really not supposed to cuss at you.
Soft.
Which is like if you've seen Jarhead and especially Full Metal Jacket. A little different. Gives you a little bit of a different idea. But he said pretty much, yeah, if you go through Paris Island, anywhere like that, from Marine boot camp especially, they are rough to you. They are the roughest of the rough to you. So I thought that was interesting to see here. All right, you got Jake Gyllenhaal, Justin. And now it comes down to this day in history. I have confidence that you will get this one. Go back December 19th in the year 1843. This classic story is published on this date by Charles Dickens. It's very timely for the season. It's been made into several film adaptations.
Miracle on 34th Street?
No.
That's a little older.
Thank
or a
Britain.
A little newer.
Thank Britain.
Charles Dickens. Oh, The Night Before Christmas.
No.
Dang it. The one with the ghosts of Christmas past. But that's called...
But it's called something, though. Oh, no.
A Christmas Tale.
No.
Come on. I actually might not know the name of it officially.
I believe in you. Come on. I'm going to help you out here. When people go around singing from house to house Christmas songs, what are they doing?
Oh, A Christmas Carol.
It's A Christmas Carol. There you go, Justin. Consider that my Christmas gift.
Sheesh.
From me to you. An early Christmas gift. I helped you out there. Yes, A Christmas Carol. Charles Dickens published on this day in 1843.
I'm a big fan of the Christmas Carol with the Disney one with like Donald Duck or whatever, but it's not Donald Duck. The Disney version of A Christmas Carol.
I know what you're talking about. There's like the Muppet version that people like. My favorite twist on it is the Bill Murray version, Scrooged. I love Scrooged. Have you ever watched Scrooged?
Can't say I have.
You
I
need
should.
To watch. You
I will.
Need. You absolutely need to watch it. Bill Murray's fantastic, and it's definitely in my Christmas movie rotation. Also, on this day in history, kind of ironic here, but on this day, back on this day, 1998, Bill Clinton was impeached. So that happened a little over 20
Old
years
Bill.
Ago. Old Bill. Also on this day, 1984, Britain agreed to return Hong Kong to China.
Ooh.
Also kind of ironic.
Timely.
And timely. On this day, the National Hockey League opened its first season in 1917. Also, last one for today, 1972, the last moon landing mission ends. Have not
we
been back
choose to,
the moon
to
in
go
a while.
To the moon.
And we haven't been back in almost 50 years.
Well, now we got a space force.
We do. I want to go to Mars, man. Forget the moon. We know about the moon. Who cares about the damn moon anymore?
Well, I think we need a base on the moon. That's my opinion.
I want to go on Mars, man. Red rocks. Red rocks. I want it now.
It's a long trip.
Well, that's why we employ very smart people to work for NASA to figure that out. Make it easier for the journey. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. Let's wrap up this Thursday edition of Overtime on the other side. Stick with us.
Just Blaze. Oh, baby. Killer. All the girls see them. Look at his kicks. Look at his car. All I say is, look, mommy, I'm no good. I'm so hood. Clap at your soldiers. Sober. Then leave after it's over. Killer. I'm not your companion.
Final segment of the show. Let's go over to the phone lines. We have Roger waiting to get on the program. Roger, good evening, buddy. What you got for us?
First, how y'all doing tonight?
Roger, doing good, man. Trying to stay warm, but we're doing all right here. We've had a good show, buddy.
I just wanted to ask you about recruiting class. If I just wanted to ask you, her is good. Would y'all happy with the recruiting class yesterday? Have that. With it.
Roger, all things considered, yeah, I was very happy. I think a lot of people are very happy with it. Going right back now to 247 Sports, you are still a top 15 class according to them. You're top 10 according to Rivals. Rivals definitely liked your class a lot more than 247 did, but you ink a top 15 class. You're about middle of the road in the SEC. You didn't have any bad surprises yesterday. You didn't have anybody that you thought you were going to sign end up going to another school. You got everybody you were supposed to, and you got some added bonuses. Talking about guys like Morvin Joseph out of Florida, you were able to flip Jimmy Holiday over from TCU. You signed everyone you were supposed to. Didn't have anything negative happen. You filled a lot of positions of need, especially talking about defensive line. Got really solid linebackers, especially. So, all things considered, man, looking back, the way Tennessee started out the season at 0-2, you were not only worried about the current season, you were worried about what's going to happen to recruiting. The team turnaround definitely played a big factor into helping keep up momentum on the trail. So, yeah, all things considered, man, I'm very happy with the way yesterday turned out.
Okay, cool. Yeah, cool. I just want to ask you about the men's team. I know I lost. I know I lost that since then. So I just want to ask you. What do you think they need to do? To turn us around for the man team, playing better to get better, you think, Tanner? Get better.
Well, first things first, they need to come out Saturday and they need to have a pretty much easy time taking care of Jacksonville State. You need to do what you're expected to do against an opponent like that. You need to come out pretty mad, I would say, if you're the basketball team. Take care of business there. Then you have another week of rest for the Christmas break and come back. And you can end the year and end this non-conference schedule with a win over a quality name program in Wisconsin. They're not having a good season so far. They've lost four out of their last five. But that would still be good for this team's confidence. But really, Roger, they really just need to have the guys who were supposed to be your consistent go-to players actually become that. I don't know if it's still an adjustment period with guys like Jordan Bowden getting used to being at least a number two, number three scoring option there. You really just need to take care of the ball better. You need to hope the new shoulder treatment for Lamonte Turner also works out. And really, man, this team really just needs to do a better job of gelling together, too, and finding an identity. That's the biggest thing right now.
Y'all have a show tomorrow night?
We definitely plan on it, Roger. We're both willing and able. We will be here tomorrow night.
Okay. All right. What's I have for tonight? Y'all have a good night.
Hey, good night, Roger. Appreciate the phone call, buddy.
Thanks, brother.
this weekend, Justin, we'll break it down tomorrow's show. Are you more looking forward to NFL football this weekend? I know your Eagles have a big one against the Cowboys. Or are you looking more forward to a bowl season getting started?
Probably NFL, just because of the implications for my team. Now, come Monday, I may regret, you know, putting some excitement into our game. But right now, you know, it's not massive bowls happening just yet. And kind of this is crunch time for the NFL. So I'm very excited for this weekend in the National Football League. It's sad that we got no Thursday night football. Last one was last week, and this kind of snuck up on me. But got three games on Saturday to make up for it, so it'll be a good weekend.
Hey, bowl's actually starting tomorrow, by the way. You have two tomorrow.
Okay.
Start at 2 o'clock Eastern. You have the Makers Wanted Bahamas Bowl. Always love playing in that little track and field stadium down in the Bahamas. You've got Buffalo versus Charlotte. So
how about that? Some of these matchups are just made to gamble on, and that's about it.
Friday night, 7:30, you will have Utah State versus Kent State and the Tropical Smoothie Cafe Frisco Bowl.
I love tropical.
Yeah, tropical smoothie. So two bowl games tomorrow is fantastic. You're going to have a whole lot on Saturday. Yeah, not the big bowls. I'm kind of with you. I'm more actually looking forward to the actual games in the NFL. But you best believe, if I'm in front of the TV, I'm probably going to be watching whatever random bowl game is on ESPN. I enjoy it. I have to take it all in because it'll be off season before we know it. So you have to enjoy it. You have to embrace it here. And that does it for this edition of Overtime. We'll be back to wrap up the week tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Till then, for Justin Feist, I'm Tanner Carson. Y'all be good and stay safe. Well,